It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. He's the one that rates the films in which the actors deserve no salary. From Straight Talk to Donnie Darko to Karate Kid Part 2. These are the worst movies that absolutely blew. These movies are so terrible they make you go berserk. You'd rather watch C-SPAN or the Home Shopping Network. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies suck so bad that you'd rather drink pee. It's the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. These movies fucking suck.
Let's go. Atomic batteries to power. Turbines to speed.
Roger. Ready to move out.
I'm your host, the Z-Man, and I invite you to listen to part one of Batman and Robin. Please do so if you already haven't. And part one's going to pick you up to speed, but just to refresh your memories for those who listened to part one or have listened to part one already, pretty much we left off with talking about Alicia Silverstone and how she became known as Batgirl, so to speak, in the movie. She goes down to the dungeon, the Bat Dungeon, so to speak, and Alfred kind of gives her the secret, you know, code, but she really isn't supposed to use it, but she uses it anyways, and, you know, it turns out to be a whole shitty shebang-a-bang. And fairly predictable, too. I mean, come on. That's just, you know, Joe Schumacher, again, making a mockery of this, you know, one-time favorite film. Pretty much today on the show, we're gonna get into the rest of Batman and Robin, and then, again, I promised you those fun-filled facts, and you're definitely gonna crack up when we get to that. So, let's finish up Batman and Robin, and then we'll get to the trivia. Pretty much, you know, getting back to that whole Batcave idea, it's funny because, like, there's a little crappy simulation of himself, like, Alfred, like, down in the Bat Dungeon, and he kind of, like, talks like he's talking to you personally. And it's totally stupid. Like, it's so funny because you can tell that this is a crappy, first of all, this is a crappy Apple computer from, like, 1992. Like, remember those Apple computers that you used to use in, like, junior high to run those CAD programs or whatever? Or, like, you know, you used to, like, get on to, like, play games and stuff. This Apple computer is no different from, like, a 92. Like, it's a piece of garbage, and, like, the fact that Apple tried to, get linked to Batman was just a desperation attempt on their part to kind of get back into business, and this certainly didn't help, because you could tell during, like, Alfred's speech that, like, he kind of stutters over his own words, like, while running that computer simulation. So that already tells you right away that the computer's a slow piece of shit, and probably runs on, like, a 50 gigahertz processor or something. I mean, it's probably as slow as, like, 1980 Omni, you know, or a Chevette hatchback, you know? Something like that, man. It's got no speed at all. I mean, computer's a hunk of crap. Probably find it at a yard sale or something. So, he kind of skips over his own words and kind of acts like he's really there. And it's funny because, like, Alicia Silverstone, aka Batgirl, goes, "It's me, Alfred." Like, she's talking to Alfred, like, right there. And then Alfred can actually compute that, you know? Like, "It's me, Alfred." How many computers do you know that could, you know, computer simulations that could, you know, have an artificial intelligence to know that it was you? I mean, what do? Like, record all these, like, voices or something? You know, like, all the world's voices, go through all the world's voices and be like, "Here, I gotta test out my artificial intelligence, so you gotta talk into the computer." Well, it's just fucking retarded. I mean, that idea itself just doesn't make any sense. It's so fucking illogical, like the rest of this movie. I can't take, you know, if it's one thing that pisses me off is how a movie absolutely makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't. It doesn't jive with me when a movie runs free from logic just because it's Batman and Robin. I mean, you gotta still have some logic to the movie. Sorry. This doesn't work like that in Hollywood. So, anyways, pretty much, like, Batman and Robin are kinda off base a little bit. They're fighting as usual, and it's kind of funny because you kind of learn Robin's real name, Dick, and it's funny the way Batman calls him, because you actually think, like, Batman actually called him a dick, and I'm like, whoa, did Batman actually swear in that line? Holy shit. So, it's kind of funny because they're arguing back and forth, and Batman's trying to convince Robin that he's under Poison Ivy's spell still, and Robin actually was arguing about how he wanted a sign of his own, and for this fag, I think it should be a pink triangle, or like an upside down triangle or something, because this guy's an absolute homo. I mean, Robin is about as intimidating, again, as, like, Martha Stewart. I mean, this guy, like, weighs 110. He's a gimp. I mean, I hate Robin. I hate Chris O'Donnell. I hate the thought of Robin. I mean, I really hope that they don't put Robin in Batman Begins, or I'd have a serious problem. So, anyways, Robin gives the sign to Poison Ivy. Poison Ivy shows the sign, and Robin comes up to see her. Well, meanwhile, Batman and Robin supposedly had a heart-to-heart talk, and he kind of convinced Robin that, you know, Batman's on his side. But that line with Dick is so funny, because this is what he says. He says, "That's what I was trying to tell you this whole entire time, that she's trying to trick you, Dick." And the way he says it's so funny. Dick. It's like one of the funniest parts of the movie, if there is even a funny part, besides the fact that this film is a filthy pile of shit. I mean, you know, so, anyways, pretty much, through this jambalaya jewel fuck of a mess, they pretty much arrive at, Poison Ivy's, Turkish bath residence, and pretty much what happens is, Robin shows up, and it's so retarded because when Poison Ivy actually kisses Robin, he pulls these plastic lips off of him. Okay? I'm sorry. Like, that was a pretty weak prop to cover up your lips. I mean, couldn't you have gone with something a little more cooler, like, you know, plastic lips? It would have been cool if he would have, like, had those big, remember those, vampire lips? Or, like, those fake candy lips you used to have as, like, a kid? Like, those were funny. Or what about borrowing the Joker's lips, you know? I mean, come on. Like, a little plastic over your lips to, like, block it so she doesn't kiss you? Like, it was just retarded. So, I mean, why not avoid the kiss in the first place? I mean, why have plastic lips? It was just a stupid idea. So, they trick Poison Ivy, and she kicks the crap out of Robin as usual, but, I mean, geez, a freaking fly could kick the crap out of Robin. I mean, you could probably put in WWE's Goldberg in there, and he'd kick the crap out of Robin. Or, you know, like, Steve Urkel could beat up Robin. I mean, Gary Coleman would probably pull some jiu-jitsu type of shit on Robin, and he would be down for the count. That's how much of a cunt Robin is. So, anyways, you know, they're going back and forth, and Poison Ivy's pretty much got Batman and Robin kind of screwed, and Batman's kind of caught by, like, the leaves, so to speak, of Poison Ivy, and, or vines, I should say, and it's so stupid. Like, this line is probably one of the fucking worst lines I've ever heard in a movie. Poison Ivy goes, "Batman, my vines got a crush on you." And she, it's so stupid, like, how she does it. She, like, puts her hands up in the air and just kind of, like, squeezes them. It's fucking retarded. "My vines got a crush on you." It just, that line is just so bad. Like, wow. I mean, W's speeches of his lines got nothing on that line, okay? Like, his presidential addresses to the nation have nothing on that. Like, his speeches, I mean, and there are some pretty fucking bad lines from W, huh? I definitely know that. G.W. Bush, I mean. So, with that said, out of the sky comes Batgirl. She just kind of, like, jumps right into the picture, you know, out of nowhere. And sure enough, they, you know, start fighting back and forth, and Batgirl apparently is the only, you know, superhero that knows how to fight and not be a pansy. So she kicks the crap out of Poison Ivy, and she she gets eaten, apparently eaten by a plant ripped right off of Little Shop of Horrors from, like, 1988. And it's retarded. Again, we're noticing a trend with the way they stole stuff from Clockwork Orange, now they're stealing stuff from, like, Little Shop of Horrors. I mean, come on. How many copyrights are you gonna steal in, like, one movie? Warner Brothers should have been flat out sued. I'm pretty sure they got some lawsuits, but you know how those out of court settlements work. I mean, you know, we all saw that with the Simpson case, and, you know, we all saw that with, you know, even today, the Watchmen, the movie The Watchmen from Warner Brothers has drawn some criticisms, and, there's a few other movies that are drawing some criticisms about how they stole ideas, from different movies. So, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how much money comes out of those settlements, because, you know, as we all know, they're always out of court settlements. They'll always, you know, give away free shit. You know, the Nintendo Wii's also being, you know, not into getting into gaming or anything, but they're also, you know, accused of stealing ideas. So, again, it's just so important to use your own ideas as a director, especially these days. And it's just really weak when you steal stuff from different movies and they have it right in. I mean, as we'll get to the trivia, you're going to find out how much stuff they stole. So with that said, you know, it's just one random thing after another in this movie that just completely pisses you off and makes you, like, want to shut it off. Well, toward the end, they're kind of, like, driving down the road, and you kind of notice how much high-tech shit that they have, and why this movie was such a failure that it is. Like, why the complications with the Batmobile? I mean, the Batmobile looks like this wind tunnel thing, and it looks like shit. And then Robin, I thought Robin was supposed to be driving a motorcycle. No, he's driving some type of mobile that you'd see, like, in the Florida Everglades. You know, those big, like, wind tunnel things? He's just driving that. I mean, this is friggin' retarded. Like, why does Robin drive this big wind tunnel thing? I don't ever remember a big wind tunnel thing in Batman. When did Batman ever drive that? Like, some of these technologies that they came up with this film are a little absurd. And sure, I mean, Batman, granted, has some, you know, stuff that is created that, you know, just boggles your mind. And you're like, yeah, right. But, I mean, this goes over the top. And then Batgirl's the one driving the motorcycle. So much for the manliness of Robin. He's just like, I'm a wuss, so I don't get to deserve to drive a cycle. You know, probably what happened was Harley Davidson wrote back and said, you know, we want some hot chick representing us, not some, you know, douchebag cunt like Robin, you know, representing us, you know. So that's probably what really happened. Well, anyways, I get up to the building, and it's completely frozen, the whole entire city of Gotham, by Mr. Freeze, because he's in the observatory with Mr. Bane, and they completely freeze the entire city using the telescope. And I don't even want to get into how he completely got the observatory to freeze over. It's just so confusing. But pretty much, he took his big freeze gun, stuck it in the telescope, and just started shooting off all this ice to freeze over the city. And that's all you need to know. So, with that said, the battle scene is just absolutely so anticlimactic in this fucking shitty film. You're just waiting for it to be over, and it just doesn't end. Like, the end actually takes longer than the movie itself, and there's this, like, huge battle between Robin, Batgirl, and Bane, okay? It takes them, okay, how to kill Bane is a no-brainer. I mean, he's hooked up to chlorophyll, and he has all these pipes in his head. Wouldn't you think to pull the pipe right away? Like, because you know that's his weak spot? No. Instead, what does Robin do, being the idiot he is? He goes hand-to-hand combat and gets, you know, literally kicked the snot out of him. And he gets choked by Bane, and so does Batgirl. So, anyway, they end up finally figuring out after 15 minutes of battling with the dude, and he turns into a, you know, a little shackled freak that he was when the movie began. So all his chlorophyll leaks out. Anyways, they don't even you know, what's funny here is, after Batman kind of, kicks Freeze's ass and, you know, it's just so lame what happens. Like, he saves the scientists somehow who are falling, and that makes no sense either because he apparently is strong enough to, like, you know, hold up an entire, observatory structure falling off a cliff, and apparently has enough sense to, you know, get one of his bat toys out and save these scientists. Well, anyways, after all that shebang, Mr. Freeze is finally just like, okay, I give up. I'll help you, you know, save, Alfred from that McGregor's syndrome, or whatever the hell it is, and I'll save, Alfred, too. So, with that said, after all of the, you know, making up that's going on between Batman and Robin, the whole entire place explodes. But you know what pisses me off? They don't save Mr. Bane. What the hell? Like, that dude was controlled by chlorophyll, okay? It wasn't like he had a choice to, like, you know, be violent. I mean, why not save Mr. Bane? No, what do they do? Instead, you know, Alfred's saved, and you find out that Mr. Freeze goes back to the asylum. And guess who his roommate is? Poison Ivy. What the hell? Like, that plant chewed off her head, and yet she still lives. Like, not a mark on her. What a bunch of shit. I mean, come on. How does that make any sense? Like, when you're in a plant, I mean, I thought those, you know, plant-eating things ate humans or whatever. You know, like, Venus flytraps, if that's what it actually is. I mean, the little Shop of Horrors, that big bastard didn't waste any time eating half the people it did. I mean, so if it's supposed to model after that, why didn't it eat Poison Ivy? Well, anyways, after that, in the asylum, they kind of meet up, and Freeze finds out that it was indeed Poison Ivy who pulled the plug on his wife, and she's gonna have hell to pay. Well, anyways, with that said, let's get into the trivia of this fucking horrible film, so you can see for yourself, hear and listen for yourself just how bad this should be and why it has no business being in the Batman anthology, or whatever the hell they call it. It should just be a trilogy. I mean, like, this movie is so bad that, like, it shouldn't even be sold in Rogers, Ohio, the world's biggest flea market. I mean, it shouldn't even be sent to the Salvation Army for donations. I mean, that's how fucking bad it is. You thinking I'm joking or something, you know? Oh, it can't be that bad. No. Find out. I dare you to find out, because I was looking on IMDb.com, and, I mean, in September, mid-September, it's supposed to be on TBS. I mean, you know, like, this friggin' film is just god-awful. I just can't believe it's still shown on television, let alone, you know, still in the stores that you have to buy the whole anthology. If you want the whole anthology, you have to buy, you know, Batman and Robin with it. I mean, it's fucking retarded. Like, why can't they sell it as a trilogy? I mean, it makes me want to go to Walmart, rip this movie out of the anthology, and say, listen, is it okay? I'll pay for the three movies, alright? But I don't want to pay for Batman and Robin. I mean, hell, I'll even just, you know, buy the whole anthology and just give them Batman and Robin and tell them to fucking bash the fucker with a huge hammer, like a huge sledgehammer, and go, rah, 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 rah. You know, or have, you know, call up upon, you know, friggin' the Incredible Hulk to go ape shit on it and start pounding him with his fist and go, boom, 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 boom. You know, fuck this movie. I hate this movie so goddamn much. So much. Alright, so much for my little rant there. But we're going to get into some fun filled trivia here that's just going to bring out the suckiness of this film. It's just going to showcase how fucking bad it is. I mean, this movie is so bad that, you know, you'd rather, like, work at, you know, a freaking shoe factory for an entire day than watch this film. You'd rather, like, you know, freaking put nails in your buttocks and sit on them and have them parch into your ass than watch this film. You'd rather, you know, it's hard. I'm telling you, it's really hard to compare how bad this film is. I'm at a loss right now. I mean, you'd rather freaking stick your head in a toilet and flush it about 10 times after someone took a dump in it. I mean, this film is so bad. Just so bad. Anybody tells you to watch this film, don't. If you feel like you have to watch this film because you haven't watched all the Batmans, I'm pretty sure people are gonna, you know, kind of understand the fact that you haven't watched this film. I mean, Batman fans everywhere normally skip this one out as a Batman movie. I mean, when they, you know, go to ask if you've seen all the Batman movies, and you go, well, I just haven't seen Batman and Robin, they'll be like, oh, if you've seen all the Batman movies, you've definitely seen them all. So, we're not going to count Batman and Robin there. To think of the type of corporations that were in on this, I mean, you know, it could have been the downfall of the economy, really, if you think about it. I mean, McDonald's was in on this. They lost a ton of money. I mean, Warner Brothers was looking horrible, and DC Comics looked like an even bigger joke after this. I can't believe they didn't strip the DC logo off of this movie, because I certainly would. I would have it paid. I would pay, you know, Warner Brothers just to strip this off. I mean, it's just bad. And, like, another thing, you know, Pop-Tarts, Kellogg's lost a lot of money, because if you remember, nobody liked those shitty Freeze Pop-Tarts, whatever they came out with, so they lost a ton. Everybody lost a ton of money in this film. I mean, you know, it's arguably one of the biggest flops of all time in history. This film, the other day, I was looking on Yahoo for, like, biggest film flops, and this was certainly number one. I mean, over $160 million went in this film and only grossed about, like, over $120 million he lost in this film. It just put so much pressure and just so much, you know, of a loss that it killed people's movie careers. Chris O'Donnell's nowhere to be seen. I can't even name the last movie that he made after this. That's how bad it was to him. Alicia Silverstone, I mean, she's kind of a laughing stock right now. She hasn't really made that many films after this one. I mean, and George Clooney, well, nobody takes him serious anymore. His films haven't even been up to par. You know, so, and then that new one that just came out, Burn After Reading, it'll probably end up on this show, just to tell you, because it will make you want to burn after reading. I mean, George Clooney is probably one of the biggest jokes of all time as an actor, and it's probably due to this film. I mean, no matter what film he comes out with, he's always going to be linked to Batman and Robin, unfortunately. So, with that said, let's get into some fun-filled trivia to just kind of showcase how bad this film really was. Well, getting into the trivia, the Batman costume weighed 90 pounds, with the material being rubber. The entire bodysuit weighed 50 pounds, plus a 40-pound piece rubber cape attached to the headpiece. 40 pounds on your head, okay? I'm sorry. How can you move in that fucking bat suit? Like, why was the bat suit, why did it have to weigh so much? I mean, what is he, you know, George Clooney supposed to be a knight? You know, was he supposed to be a bat knight? You know, like, why couldn't they make the suit lighter? I mean, what was wrong with the 1960s, or, you know, even, like, what was wrong with, you know, just regular Batman Begin? I mean, no wonder George Clooney couldn't really do any, like, action roles or anything, like punch people and stuff. It's because he couldn't fucking move. I mean, geez, 90 pounds, a 50-pound headpiece, you're lucky, you know, you could even walk. I mean, probably had a pounding headache every night wearing that fucking thing. I mean, it's like being a football player out there, you know, with offensive line pads and stuff. I mean, you can't move. Good grief, 90 pounds. I'd like to see the director move with a 90-pound suit. Batgirl costume weighed 50 pounds, and as much as Alicia Silverstone weighs, I mean, I'm pretty sure she probably had some problems, and, you know, probably fell on her back with how heavy that damn suit was. Robin costume weighed the same. The Freeze costume weighed 75 pounds. So you have a bunch of already stock characters that really are stock. I mean, they just can't move in these suits. So how do you expect any action to occur? Batman's supposed to be action, you know? It just didn't make any sense. Okay, here's another thing that might have helped this movie. Anthony Hopkins was one of Joel Schumacher's other choices of Mr. Freeze. And, get this, he was also considered for the role of Alfred in Batman Begins in 2005. So, guess who was the third choice to play Mr. Freeze in this shitty film? Hulk Hogan. Could you imagine the Hulkster being Mr. Freeze? I'm sorry, this would have... That, you know, it's pretty, I'm sorry, bad enough it was Schwarzenegger, but I'm pretty sure Hulk Hogan could have done a worse job. I could not see Hulk Hogan as Mr. Freeze. I mean, it'd be like, remember the movie Suburban Commando? Where it just looks like he had, like, a bunch of recyclable junk on him, you know, stuff from, like, a flea market. I'm pretty sure that's probably what they would have done to him in this film. Hulk Hogan is Mr. Freeze. Wow. Well, it's a good thing Hulk Hogan didn't do this. It would have really ruined his legacy. Another fun-filled fact, the disease McGregor syndrome was named after producer Peter McGregor Scott. I just thought that was a stupid idea with this whole McGregor syndrome crap. Just made it even, made the movie even look worse. And, if you didn't notice, I kind of brought this up in part one, during the scene where Batman and Robin bid for Poison Ivy, Batman pulls out his card, its expiration date, forever. It was a reference to Batman Forever, and, which this movie should have been called Batman Forever in the first place. Instead of Batman and Robin. Batman and Robin should have been what Batman Forever was, if that makes any sense. So, after that, getting into some more fun-filled facts, Julia Roberts, Sharon Stone, and Demi Moore were all rumored to be in the running for the part of Poison Ivy before Uma Thurman was casted. know, I can't say out of those three that it would have mattered. It wasn't like this, you know, film would have meant very much. Because it was already a disaster to start. But it would have been nice to see what Demi Moore would have done as, you know, Poison Ivy. I think that would have been kind of hot. I mean, she is pretty hot for her age. I mean, damn, 40, you know, what, 42 now. And, you know, she looks like she might be about not even close to 25. So, I think it would have been hot to see her. Much better than Uma Thurman. I can't stand Uma Thurman. I mean, her roles are so retarded, and, like, her movies just completely bomb. Like, Kill Bill, I mean, oh, man, that movie's so fucking horrible. Like, I heard this one rumor from DPJ himself that there was a free screening at Pitt University for Kill Bill, and, like, they had to cancel it because nobody showed up. I mean, Quentin Tarantino's films sometimes are actually, I would say 95% of the time, almost positive, are going to suck. The most overrated director ever. Well, anyways, here's something funny. Joel Schumacher once said in an interview that if Arnold had not wanted to play Mr. Freeze, Sylvester Stallone was his second choice. Good grief, Rocky is Mr. Freeze? Oh, it would have been funny to hear him, you know, say what he had to say. Let's freeze the town, you know, because I'm Rocky. And Rocky says, put the Gotham City on ice. I think that would have been funny. Also, Pat Hengel and Michael Gough. Pat Hengel, of course, played Commissioner Gordon, and Michael Gough, I call him Gough, played Alfred Pennyworth. And actually, believe it or not, they're the only two actors to appear in all four of the films, which is why consistency is just something that has to happen if, you know, this next Batman series is going to thrive. We've seen it in the first two films. I mean, the difference between Batman Begins, a lot of people said, oh, that film, you know, and, you know, that's another thing I hate about, films that just have this falling out. It makes you not want to go see the next, you know, the next new thing that comes out. You know, Batman Begins, a lot of people didn't really want to go see this in the films. I mean, a lot of people just kind of shied away from this movie and waited until it came out on DVD. I actually went and seen it in the cheap theater, and I absolutely loved Batman Begins. You know, that's what kind of sucks. I mean, unfortunately, when the torch is completely scorched and, you know, put out, a lot of people are going to shy away from the next film you make, no matter who's directing it, no matter what company's bringing it out. This movie really, in a sense, put such a hamper on, you know, the Batman, the Batman title, the Batman show. Its legacy was ruined after this, really, for a number of years until Batman Begins came out. One of the three movies to feature two future United States governors acting in the same film. Now, that's interesting because a total shitty movie. You're telling me that Batman and Robin is the only movie ever to have two governors in the same film. So, we're talking about here Jesse Ventura, and of course Arnold Schwarzenegger. So, they actually starred together in two other films, Predator and The Running Man. Well, That's kind of funny in a way, you know, two governors in the same film. I mean, The Running Man and Predator were alright, but now you know why they became governors, because their acting career was starting to literally suck balls. I mean, it was starting to turn pretty sour milk, or you know, like Krusty Krabs or something. The computer in the room is a 20th anniversary Macintosh built by Apple Computer. So apparently, you're trying to tell me that the computer's literally 20 years old, or I don't know. Here's one that jumps out at me, and going back to Clockwork Orange, when Batgirl sneaks to the motorcycle contest, one of the gangs there are dressed like the main characters in Stanley Kubrick's A Clockwork Orange. At the same time, the background song is Fun For Me, performed by Maluko. Maluko is Nadstat for milk. Okay, I don't know what the hell that meant, but that kind of shows you right there that, you know, they ripped off Clockwork Orange, and just, this movie is just a literal sham, and pisses me off to no end. This is also rated number 5 in Entertainment Weekly's Top 25 Worst Sequels Ever Made, and it was rated number 5 in actually 2006. Here's two guys that I thought could have, done a better job. Patrick Stewart was also considered, along with Anthony Hopkins. Now, like, why did Joe Schumacher have to decide that, Freeze had to be big and strong like he was chiseled out of a glacier? That makes no sense to me, and that proves to me right there that Joel Schumacher did not pay attention to the cartoon series that was trying to, you know, represent. This was meant to represent, again, the cartoon, The Adventures of Batman and Robin. So, if you remember, I mean, Mr. Freeze was supposed to be skinny. Patrick Stewart would have done an excellent job. I mean, it might have saved this film. I would have liked to have seen him as Mr. Freeze. Wow, that would have been awesome. And if they're looking to, you know, if they're shying away from the fact that, you know, Mr. Freeze was a flop so much the first time that we can't use him again, that's BS. You put Patrick Stewart in, you know, the next Batman movie that comes out, and you put him in this new series as Mr. Freeze, I'm pretty sure it'll get rid of the whole, you know, knock that Mr. Freeze can't be played in a Batman movie, because he would do an excellent job. Fits the role perfect. He's completely bald, you know, really skinny, kind of an older guy. Has that creepy voice to him. I would really love to see Patrick Stewart play in the next Batman film as Mr. Freeze, if they're in fact gonna, you know, go that route again. The film did so poorly that Warner Brothers canceled the fifth Batman film, Batman Triumphant. Thank God they did. Here's why. Had the film been made, the main antagonist would have been the Scarecrow, the Man-Bat, and Harley Quinn. For this story, Harley Quinn would have been the Joker's daughter instead of his on-and-off lover, and at the same time, Madonna was being cast for the plot. Madonna in a Batman film, I'm sorry. That just doesn't jive very well. And a prolonged sequence would have involved the effect that Scarecrow's fear gas has on Batman, a return of the Joker with Jack Nicholson making a cameo. The villainous character Bane was created by comic book writer Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan. Val Kilmer was asked if he wanted to play Batman again, but by his own admission, wasn't interested. And rightfully so, Val Kilmer did not want to ruin his, you know, legacy as Batman, because, let's be honest, I mean, you know, for filling in for a guy like, a stud like, you know, Michael Keaton. I thought he did a pretty admirable job in Batman Forever. You know, the only thing that makes that movie suck is having to watch Chris O'Donnell and the stupid circus scene or whatever, you know, where his parents are at and how he was in a circus. I mean, come on. Anybody knows that a homo, you know, a homo gymnast or whatever the hell, trapeze artist, I mean, you gotta be gay to get into that. So, that's why I'm hoping that in the next Batman films that Robin isn't casted, and, you know, I mean, for the first Batman Begins movie, if you remember right, it's Scarecrow, so it's maybe what they were shooting for in Batman Begins, and they just kind of decided, hey, we're going to scrap this idea, we're going to go with a new Batman franchise, and we're going to see if it works, and obviously it did. If you haven't been paying attention to the, you know, ratings and how much money the movies are actually making, I mean, Batman Dark Knight grossed in the most ever by a film, you know, number two overall of all time. I mean, you know, it did almost as good as Titanic. So Warner Brothers definitely had a plan, and they really took a bold move by switching up the Christian Bale. I mean, it couldn't... The great thing was it couldn't get any worse than it already was, you know. So I'm kind of glad they had switched it up and had switched the storyline, because, you know, the next Batman film is going to have a lot of hype to it, and, you know, a lot of people are going to be ready for it. It's going to take a while. Is Christian Bale going to play Batman? We hope. I really want to see Christian Bale back into it. I think he does an alright job and kind of stabilizes Batman, because, I mean, let's face it, Batman needs consistency. It needs a consistent actor that's going to be, you know, a stake horse that you're going to be able to say, hey, that guy was Batman. You know, not George Clooney where you go, Batman? George Clooney is Batman now? I remember him from ER. You can't have that. The next Batman film needs a stabilizer role. So, keep your fingers crossed. Hope Christian Bale comes back. And, you know, let's see what he does. Now, it's interesting because the next Justice League that's coming out, this new movie that's slated for about 2010, Christian Bale didn't sign on. There's a new character for Batman. So, I mean, we're going to find out soon enough if Christian Bale is actually going to return as Batman in the next Batman film. Well, that wraps up our two-part series on Batman and Robin. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. It was, you know, just hardcore review. There was just so many bad things in it, and, you know, I really wanted to stress just the dynamics of why, you know, Warner Brothers scrapped the idea of the four films, because they really just did not go together whatsoever. And, you know, you kind of saw that with James Bond, too. It was a little similar with James Bond. They kind of scrapped the whole James Bond of, you know, well, the movies can't coexist together. We have to make a new film every time. And now, you know, James Bond, Casino Royale, the next Bond that comes out, the Quantum of Solace, might actually be a good film. A lot of people like Casino Royale, so, hey, is it going to have the same success in, you know, come November? We'll see. Well, coming up for reviews, I'm pretty much open to whatever you want to see me review. I have a good feeling about the next couple of reviews that we're going to be reviewing. So, I mean, feel free to always comment. My email address is zman1201@yahoo.com. Feel free to write me an email, comment on the show, do you like it, What don't you like about it? Always willing to listen. And thanks for the past couple of days. I've been getting some new listeners, and I'm really starting to go up on the ratings on Podomatic.com. Well, you've been listening to the Fucked Up Z Critic Movie Gallery. I'm your host, the Z-Man, and you have a nice day.